This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and together with me is Lim Soo Ann. So today we are talking about, well, keeping a distance of at least 1 meter away from others, wearing a mask when you're out and about, constantly sanitizing your hands. These are, of course, just some of the habits that we've gotten used to because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But are some of us becoming complacent? We'll be discussing the idea of caution fatigue during this pandemic.
So if you have any of your own personal experiences you want to share, or if you've seen anything like this, you know, when you've gone out, you know, you can share those with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. So, you know, if you follow the Health Director General's daily press briefings, you're probably used to hearing about the three C's and the three W's from Dato' Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah. And if you haven't, well, the three C's are what you should avoid, which are crowded places, confined spaces, and close conversations. The three W's on the other hand, refer to things that you should do, you know, which are washing your hands more frequently, wearing face masks, and to adhere to warnings from the Ministry of Health, such as avoiding touch as much as possible, practicing cough etiquette, and so on. And, you know, for some of us, we've heard this so often that really you've just memorized it. Mm-hmm. It's stuck in your head. But the main question is, are we practicing it?
Well, this is all part and parcel of the new normal, right? And we can't remain in the movement control order for months on end, because that will have a damaging impact on our economy. But at the same time, we can't just return to how life was before. That's the new normal. We have to learn to live with this virus, at least until a vaccine is found. And that's where these new norms and these SOPs that we keep hearing about come in. Of course, this was during the previous CMCO as well as this current RMCO.
And we've heard again and again that we cannot become complacent, right? You know, it's been echoed by healthcare professionals. You've heard it from the Health Director General, you've even heard it from the Prime Minister himself. You know, we need to keep in mind that if we do become lax in following these new SOPs, these new norms, that could pave the way for another wave of COVID-19 cases in the country. And really, that's the last thing all of us would want, right? The economy has just begun to reopen. A lot of us are getting used to going back to work again, being able to go out. And, you know, there's just greater movement within the population of the country.
Yes. And we've seen evidence from other countries that have seen spikes of COVID cases after coming out from lockdowns. And this includes countries like China, Germany, South Korea, Japan, and several others have relaxed restrictions, but then saw a rise in cases in parts of the country. And this then led to the reimposition of certain restrictions. For example, in South Korea, schools having to close just days after they reopened because of a new spike in cases. And frankly, this will likely be the case in many other countries, including Malaysia, as we reopen the economy. As Dr. Nur Hisham said in one of his press briefings, if there are any outbreaks in a particular area, an EMCO will be implemented.
And crucial to all of this really is how we as individuals take our responsibility, right, to continue following these new norms. You know, when the CMCO was announced, and now during the RMCO, we've seen those news reports of, you know, certain outlets or individuals who haven't followed the SOPs that the government has implemented. You know, we ourselves might have seen someone who wasn't doing their part, or, you know, sometimes we could have been the one who's forgotten to do some of these things. You know, you might have forgotten to just wash your hands a bit more often, to stay that 1 meter away from other people. So could that incidence of forgetting, you know, could we or other people be experiencing something called caution fatigue? So this term of caution fatigue was actually coined by Jacqueline Golan, an associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Northwestern University in the US. So an example of caution fatigue, such as during COVID-19, would be, you know, that, you know, after months of washing your hands frequently, you've just slowly forgotten to do it as often as you should. And, you know, Golan likens our motivation to keep to these new norms to a battery. So at the start of it, you know, you're full of energy, you're motivated to do your part, you know, you're physical distancing, you're staying at home. But then, you know, after a few weeks and a few months, your motivation begins to dip, and then some people grow lax about these guidelines.
So for some people, could we be feeling some level of fatigue? To get a better understanding of what motivates us to follow the SOPs and guidelines to prevent COVID transmission, we do have on the line clinical psychologist Dr. Joel Low. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Joel. And speaking of these new norms and SOPs, people have been quite vigilant and accepting of these new habits throughout the MCO and its various forms. What explains our motivation in following these rules?
I think, generally speaking, for anybody, right, because our own safety and our own family safety is at stake here, right, I think it's naturally very easy for us to be vigilant and diligent in making sure that we are keeping to the social distances and the washing our hands and all these kind of procedures that we need to follow to make sure that we're safe. But I think the one thing that the Ministry of Health and DG has done really well is to remind us that this is about the bigger picture here. Like, it's not just about our own selves, but it's also about the larger community at large, right? So, like, for example, you might get it and you're like 30-something, you're unhealthy, you know, you're fine, you can recover. But if you are living with elderly or you're exposed to the elderly or those people with, like, asthma, for example, then it's going to be quite easy for them to catch it and then get some really severe medical conditions because of it, like, that sense, right? So I think that really explains that motivation of ours. Like. So the fact that we want to take care of ourselves and also our own, like, that sense, our community, our families at large. Like. Yeah.
Mm. And right now, it's been almost 3 months since the MCO was first implemented, and now we are starting to see the loosening of most of the movement restrictions. So what would explain why some people become complacent?
Mm. I think it's because when something, our natural human attention span isn't the greatest in the world, right? After some time when we're bombarded with the same messages quite frequently, right? It's going to become like almost like background noise, right? So it's the same, like, that idea behind those cigarette packets. You know, they've got pictures of, like, the cancer and the possible, like, detrimental, like, the tar and the lungs and things like that. So the idea behind adding those pictures into those cigarette packets is because, you know, when people see, they'll be in shock. Like, oh my God, it's so, these are the possible ramifications if I smoke, for example. But if you ask most smokers, nowadays, do they even notice the pictures? Then they don't, right? And I think that's a similar thing that's happening here, like, because it's been something that's been ongoing for such a long time. Over time, it becomes almost like background noise for some people. So we don't really pay attention to it so much. And that's when we start being complacent and lax about it. It's not that we don't care. It's not that. It's just that it's just so persistent that we're like, okay, like, it's just part and parcel of our life, really. Like. So I can slack off a little bit, like, sometimes, yeah.
So does that mean that repeated messaging only works up to a certain point?
I think so, especially when it's not changed in any form, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, let's say the first phase, you talk about personal safety and hygiene, right? You know, you got to take care of yourself, make sure you don't catch it and things like that. And then the next phase, you talk about taking care of your family or community at large. So it's the same kind of idea that you're doing, you're sharing, which is to make sure you're hygienic, make sure you're staying clean and making sure that you're taking care of your own health, right? But you're changing the way you tell that story, right? So one is from your own personal perspective, one is from a community perspective, one is from a, let's say, national, financial, economic perspective, like, even put it that way, like, right? Then the narrative changes, even though the content is the same. Mm-hmm. And then it's like new news to us. It's like a new occurrence to us, for example. Right? Then the fatigue that we go through before that, it's not going to be as clear or as obvious, like, right? And then that way, that message stays with us for longer. So that's one way that we can do to try and change that thing, right?
But if we keep creating higher and higher thresholds for the message that is being put out, would there come a point that this message wouldn't be strong enough to make an impact on people anymore?
Yeah, correct. So at some point, the fear aspect or the anxiety aspect of messaging needs to change, needs to evolve from that, from the anxiety-provoking or the fear-provoking, right, to more about education and more affirmative, right? So initially, we might say that, you know, wash your hands, you know, you might catch COVID-19. Mm-hmm. We might evolve the message to the end to say things like, you know, we all should take care of our personal hygiene. It should be part of our daily habits, right? So it's not so fear-based anymore. It's more about functionality. It's about normality. These are things we should do anyways. So when the message changes that way, then it changes the narrative, but then the intention is still the same. We need to stay healthy. We need to make sure that we're hygienic, right? The why is still there, but then how we go about going is going to be different in that sense. So that's one way we can overcome the escalation. I think you raise a good point as well. You know, at some point in the human attention, right, shock and awe only works to a certain extent. After a while, it becomes so extreme that we just shut off, we just cut it off, we just don't acknowledge it anymore. So you're absolutely right. If you keep escalating, it's gonna, at one point, it's just not going to work anymore, right? So then when that happens, then we need to change the narrative, like, change, evolve it to a point that's more, let's say, assertive or affirmative, like, in that sense, like, to do have the same outcome, but from a different aspect or a different way of doing it.
So that idea of using fear is quite interesting, right? Because we as a society, we tend to fall back on using fear to elicit a particular outcome. You know, for example, it's quite common for us to see parents telling children that if they don't follow what the parents say, you know, they will have the police come and catch them.
Yeah, correct. Yep, exactly. And I think that's a very natural, instinctive way for us to do it because we see results straight away, right? Because it's very, as human beings, we want to preserve our health and our safety, right? We want to make sure we don't get hurt, we don't get in trouble. So that's why the fear-based approach is going to be very effective at the initial stages, right? You know, for example, you tell a person, don't touch the pot because you'll get burned and you'll hurt, right? I don't want to touch it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if over time, if I keep attempting to touch it or attempt to do it and nothing happens to me, then okay, I'll just keep doing it, right? Same goes for the wearing masks, for example. You know, people say, oh, yeah, if you don't wear it, you'll catch COVID-19 or higher chance of you catching COVID-19. Yeah? But after 6 months to a year, I don't wear it. I still don't get it. Why should I wear it for? Because, again, it's from a fear-based approach.
Mm-hmm.
But if you switch it to a more affirmative approach where you say, you know what, if you wear the mask, you know, chances of you catching any diseases reduces and you take care of the community, take care of your family, then it's more affirmative, it's more positive. Then you're going to see a different kind of adoption, hopefully, like that. So it's not born out of fear, but born more of, for the greater good, right? So it's more positive in that sense, yeah.
So then if we go back to that idea of, you know, instilling new norms in the age of COVID-19 and preventing ourselves from being complacent, you know, a lot of us have been practicing these new habits for months now. So at what point, you know, will these become simply routine and also just part and parcel of our daily lives?
Mm. I think we are always going to have a swath of the population where they are so set in their ways that they find it very hard to deviate or to change or to adapt or adopt different new norms like that sense, right? But I think if we're looking at the population at large, if we're looking about like 80% of the population who can adapt to this new parameters, right? I think we're doing a pretty good job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we're looking at total adoption, I think that's going to be very, very hard. It's not going to be easy to achieve. But we're looking at majority, I think that's something we are well on our way to doing so, right? Again, I think if we change our narrative from a fear-based, anxiety-based, cautionary-based approach to sending out that message about keeping hygiene up, washing our hands and things like that to something that's more affirmative,
mm-hmm.
I think that'll do a lot of good work as well.
That was clinical psychologist Dr. Joel Low. But Swen, you know, tell me, do you feel fatigued when you're practicing some of these so-called new norms?
Sometimes I think I do without realizing it because now we're going out more often, right? I mean, you know, I've gone to dine out, for example, and you know, at first I'm just very I'm paying attention to every single detail. You know, I'm washing my hands, I'm making sure I'm staying away from far from a lot of people. But as you go out more and more, you find that it's quite easy to also just fall back into the norms that you've been the norm of how life was before COVID-19, right? It's easy to forget how things were for the past few months, but then suddenly I'm like, no, you know, I have to make sure that we need to keep practicing these new habits because that's the only way that we can break the chain.
So I also think that it was relatively easier to keep to these practices when we weren't doing as much. So for the 2.5 to 3 months where most of us were just at home, our routines became quite contained.
Mm-hmm.
But now as they're slowly starting to open up, you know, as a lot of us are going back to work or, you know, more comfortable taking public transport or what, it's very easy to feel like, oh, life's almost back to normal. And so this part that you associated with the non-normal part of life, it becomes a bit of a chore to continue doing it. I mean, I certainly feel it as well. I was a lot more willing to, every time I stepped out of my house, even to, I don't know, get the mail or pick up a delivery or something, I'd come back, I diligently wash my hands. But now when I come to office and I go back in, a part of me is like, oh, I just want to sit on the couch for a minute. Like, do I really have to think about like washing and sanitizing? So I can understand it. But I do think also that what Dr. Joel said, to think of it not as a quote-unquote a punishment or something that's restricting us, but to think of it instead as a new way, but also something we're doing for a collective good, helps, I think.
And I think sometimes, you know, like personally, I've had the thought, well, our cases are quite well-maintained, you know, should we still be that worried? But then that's the thing, right? If a lot of us aren't worried enough to, you know, take all these precautions, that could then lead to a spike back in the cases. So really, I think it's just us having to, you know, we have to keep in mind that we need to keep practicing these measures so that we can contain the disease because the war is not yet won, you know. We are still, the COVID-19 cases there are still cases in the country. We have over 900 active cases, you know, and there are still community transmissions that are happening. So what practicing things like physical distancing, washing your hands more often, that is what's keeping you safe and healthy.
Well, that's all the time we have for that today. But let us know, you know, are you feeling this sense of a slight amount of caution fatigue from dealing with all of these restrictions that we've been facing? How are you easing into this new normal? Tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or if you'd like to look us up on Facebook, we are BFM The Bigger Picture. So that's all we have for you today. But coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, Juliet Jacobs will be speaking to Surin Suksuan, who is a member of the IUCN World Commission on Protected Areas, and Preeta Shankar, who is an environmental lawyer. And they will be speaking about how here in Malaysia we can bounce back from this pandemic and perhaps see some changes in the way we do things as far as the environment is concerned. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. But first, here's Welcome to the Working Week by Elvis Costello, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.